Amen. All right, turn your Bibles to Luke. Luke, the 15th chapter. We're just going to read just a few verses of Scripture. Try not to hold you too long, but I feel like this would be the burden of my heart today. I cover your prayers. My throat's trying to leave me. I know God's going to help us. Amen. I want God's way. It really blessed my heart when the young people came to Brother Joe and was willing. They did it. We didn't force them. We didn't ask them to do it. But they asked if they could take their fun time and seek God in these altars. And that's what we're going to need. Amen. God will reward you all for that. God will reward you for that. Amen. We need to have a move of God in these last days. Are you hearing me? Now, I know we've got preachers proclaiming end time revivals, and you know, and I'm not going to get onto that, all into that. But I will say, in the day and hour we're living in, we don't have to go to glory limping. Come on here now. We can go out with a shout and with a hallelujah. Amen. We got bad problems, somebody said. We've got rough situations. But my Bible still teaches me that the anointing breaks the yoke. If we can get a group of people that can get anointed and have the move of God in their life, we can see some things shaken and broken down here on this earth. That's my goal. Amen. That's my goal. 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Very familiar scriptures. Start reading at the 8th verse. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. If she have one piece and lose it, does she not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Amen. If the Lord were to help me and the Holy Ghost would touch me, I'd like to preach on, I still have 9. Amen. I still have 9. You know, we read this 15th chapter of the book of Luke, and you Bible studiers will know, and if you read it, there's 3 different parables given in this chapter, and all of them have to do with something that has been lost becoming found. And I understand that this represents finding which was lost, talking about the prodigal and the pieces of silver. I mean, I understand all that. But when I got to reading this, and you just know how I am, amen, I just got to thinking. Gets dangerous when I get to thinking. But I got to thinking, what would it have been if this woman, having 10 pieces of silver, would have recognized that I only have 9 now, and somehow I have lost one, but then she went on with her life, never recovering that lost coin. What would it have been if she accepted her loss and lived her life lacking her full possession? Whew! I'm already feeling the preacher. Amen. You see, today we are living in a world where people will settle for less for the sake of convenience. Amen. There is a constant comparison between what I need and what I can get by with. Amen. Y'all going to help me, ain't you? The attitude of I don't have to be in the front of the pack just as long as I'm in the pack. God, I may not be full, but hey, I'm not empty. need to go deeper in God because I've already made it through the gate. We are living in a time and with a people and with a generation that they'll get by with the very least they can squeak by just as long as they can say, I am getting by. We are living in a church world where we'll keep just enough of God to keep us miserable. Are you hearing me? We've not got enough to get victory, but yet we keep enough not to go all the way out. We ain't got enough to get people saved, but yet we've got just barely enough to keep our spiritual hearts a-beating. And we are living and raising and farming and nurturing a generation that knows not what it is to have a full-blown, genuine experience with God. Help me, Holy Ghost. It might get a little tight, but it's going to be right. Amen. Oh, God. We are living in a time and an hour where people says, I don't need 10. I can get by with 9. Amen. I don't have to sacrifice completely. Amen. I'm happy the way I am. Here, you listen here, young people. There was a time when we would not be satisfied with singing in the choir unless we had the anointing. But now, we're just happy to be in the choir. Come on here now. There was a time when we'd come to the house of God, we'd accept nothing more than the moving of the Holy Ghost. But now, we're satisfied with just sitting in a pew. No wonder our owners are dying. No wonder our communities are lost. We're living in a generation that has accepted less than what God would have. We used to reach out for that move of God. Oh God. We used to strive for that anointing. But now, we're happy with just being here. We used to have tarrying services. Now they're nothing more but gatherings. We have grown used to our empty pews and our forgotten altars. We have settled for less for so long that now some of you don't even miss that lost piece of silver. Oh, what would it have been if the woman here said, it doesn't matter if I don't have all 10. I still got 9 left. I know I don't have what I should have. I know I don't possess what is really mine. But I'll settle for less all because I do not want to diligently turn on the light, sweep out my house, and look for that missing piece. But I'm willing to settle for less. Some of you have grown so accustomed to your lackadaisical ways that you don't even realize that you're wanting. Come on here now. They tell me that us as human beings, we can adjust to just about anything. You ever walk into a building that's got the AC on and you're a sweating mess? I came in here last night. I just walked from the house over here and I was sweating bullets. Huh? I got over by that vent that Brother Noah's standing on and I knelt down there and prayed right over top of it. I didn't care who saw me. But you know what? After a while, my body temperature came down. I didn't notice that the heat had left. Woo! I I just settled right into the cold. Oh, God. You're looking at me, and I'm looking at you. I'm fixing to tell you, some of you used to have a fever to serve the Lord. It used to be your heartbeat to get into the altar and bring the presence of God down. Oh, God. You used to be on fire. But now you've been cold for so long that you've become acclimated to the temperature that is around you. And you no longer feel the heat that has left you. Was it not Samson that said, I will go out and shake myself as I had done in times past, but wish not that the Spirit of God had departed? Oh, there were some of you in this building last night while the Holy Ghost was dancing these aisles and filling this altar. You were sitting in the middle with your blank stare, with your cold, hard heart, and you didn't even realize, I am losing something. I've not got what I used to have. I'm losing it. I'm losing it. I'm losing it. I'm losing it. But you can't realize it. You are settling for less.
There's a time when the Holy Ghost would move in God's house and you didn't feel Him come upon you, that it would scare you. I remember, even now, at times, Brother Noah, I can look around, see my preacher brethren. You ever been there? And I'm standing thinking, Lord, where you at? I start getting my fevers out. Why ain't I feeling you, God? There was a time when you used to be like that. Hey, you know what made me get the Holy Ghost? I looked over at my neighbor and said, he ain't going to outdo me. Come on here now. He got the Holy Ghost. I can get it too. Whew! And it would just eat at me and eat at me. I'd start fasting. I'd start saying, God, shuck it out of my life. I'd turn it off. I would turn it off. Of course, now we got... Never mind. Come on here now. I was worried. Why am I not having a move of God in my life? Why am I not? I used to have 10. Now I ain't got enough. I can't feel Him like I used to. Something's missing. There's something wrong. I better get concerned. But I seen the look on some of your faces last night. It did not faze you that the Holy Ghost was not lighting on you. It did not break your heart that you was not feeling a touch from God. You have grown used to settling for less.
Salvation was designed to be a means of growth. Come on. God gives us a gift, and then He expects us to multiply that which He has given us. We said it last night. It's as babes. We start out as infants in the Lord. But God don't expect us 5 years from now to still be an infant. God expects growth. Why was He going to cut down the fig tree? No growth. No evidence. It looked like an adult fig tree, but it had the stamina and the power of a sapling. There's some of you walking around here. You look good. But when we pull back the branches, look into the heart of the plant, there's no strength. And the shame of it all was at one time there was strength. But little by little by little, we begin to digress, cool off, and back away from the presence of God. Ever so slightly, to where we become acclimated to the temperature. And we don't even notice it. Till we find ourselves in a place to where we are serving God with less. And to be honest with you, you're not even serving Him. You're just going through the motions. You've learned when you're supposed to raise them. And you've learned when you're supposed to put them down. You've learned when you're supposed to clap. And you've learned when you're supposed to be reverent. You've learned when you're supposed to speak. And you know when you shouldn't speak. You know what you should say. And you know what you shouldn't say. But I want to say, like the Scripture, there's a lot of hope. You hear me right here. I know a lot of times we preach this to the world, but I want to tell the holiness folks, if we don't get a hold of a genuine move of God, we're going to fall in underneath of that Scripture, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I said the world is, why are they making light of the holiness church? Why are we become a mockery in the eyes of this world? Because people are no longer living their full potential in God, but they are settled for less. And we are becoming a laughing stock to this world. We want to blame sin to be the victim for the moral decay of this world. I feel like it's the moral decay of the church that's opened up the floodgates of hell upon this earth. Oh, the midnight seeker came. Friend, I have no bread. I have no bread. And the reply was, pretty much, I don't have any to give you. Come on here now. We have settled for less so long that we are losing our place in God. Matthew 25 tells us about the servants that talents were given to. One was given 5 talents. One was given 2 talents. And one was given 1 talent. When it came the day of reckoning, and the master returned, the one with 5 talents had gained unto himself yet another 5. The one with 2 talents had gained to himself yet another 2. But when he went up to the one with the 1 talent, five and 5 more. 2 more. What have you done with just the 1? Well, Master, I knew you was a hard man. And I was so afraid to handle it wrong that I just went out and buried it so it would be safe. Yeah. Oh, okay. I understand. What did he say? He said you could have at least taken it to the lenders, in other words, and given it for usury. Got some interest off of it at least. You could have did something with it. But just take it out and bury it. So he took that talent from him and gave it to another. He was cast out when he was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Come on here now. That is where we're at right now. In times past, there has been some that has had five, and they've had five more. There are some that has had two, and they have gained another two. But there's some of you, God has just tried to entrust you with one thing. You all look at me. Some of you is wondering why you're no farther along than God in what you are. If you'll be faithful in the few things. Some of us wants to preach camp meetings and we can't even be faithful to our home church. Come on here now. Some of us wants to set the world on fire and we can't even get ourselves jump started in the morning. Come on here now. Hey, God has given each and every one of us a talent. Or in other words, a work, a gift to put us all on the same plane of salvation. He's commissioned us all to go out into this world and to spread the gospel. That don't mean hook up a fifth wheel and preach. That means be a Christian, be a light, be an example, be an example. Let this world know, hey, there's still a way of life called holiness. There's still people that don't compromise, that don't back down, that don't live like the world. I want to show this generation, even though I don't care how hard it gets, you can still live right. God has placed something in our hands. There's some of us, like that servant, act like you're afraid of it and you bury it. When deep down, it wasn't fear that caused him to bury the talent. It was laziness. It was, in order to get another one, I'm going to have to do something. That one that had five just didn't sit in the house sipping lemonade waiting for five more to roll his way. He had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, get himself ready to go, and hit the street. Come on here now. He had to push. He had to pull. He had to sell. He had to buy. He had to work for it. That one with two, he had to get up and do the same thing. He had to press. Hey, it might be five. It might be two. It might be one. It doesn't matter. Maybe you ain't got five. Maybe you ain't got two. Maybe God just gave you one. But what are you doing with the talents and the abilities and the gifts that God has given you? What are you doing with salvation? What are you doing with sanctification? What are you doing with the Holy Ghost? Where you going, living right? Where you going, separation? Where you going, regeneration? Hey, you better wake up and realize your lackadaisical ways are going to wind you up in hell. I got some more to go. There's some of you, look at me right here in the eye, up here. Amen. You won't raise your hand unless me or Brother Lloyd or a preacher or somebody comes out there and raises it for you. You won't step out for God. You won't be obedient. You won't worship. You won't sing. You won't even come to church. Unless somebody's constantly calling you, begging you, pleading with you, poking at you, badgering at you. Oh, great God, I tell you what you need to do. You need to get saved. I said you need to get saved. You need to find all-time salvation. when I was growing up, and my pastor said, I want the young people to come up here and get a song. We was falling over top of each other to get up here. Come on here now. Y'all don't buck up on me here. Come on. You bunch of you musicians have been padded and petted so long. I tell you what, if I sit in my pew, some of you won't even get up on the music till the song's halfway done. You're lazy. You're lazy. You're losing. You're losing somewhere. And you better realize it. I need to get a hold of God. I want to say this right here. And I ain't being mean. And you know my heart. I'm trying to be mean. But in a sense, I want to say this carefully, because I don't want you to take me wrong. But in a sense, you all need this church more than this church needs you. You need a move of God more than the move of God needs you. Some of you act like, oh, he loves Bosch. Step right here. Some of you feel like you got God behind the eight ball, like a puppet, and he's got to bow to your every wish, bow to your every command, bow to your every whim, bow to your every attitude. I'll serve you if I feel like it. If I'm not mad, I'll get in. If everything's going my way, I'll be happy. But the first time the boom gets lowered, you're mad at the preacher, you're mad at mommy, you're mad at the church, you're mad at God. The stage are eating me up. No! But God don't need you. You need God. Oh, Job got to have a pity party. God said, look here, boy. Where was you at when I formed the heavens and the earth? Where was you at when I held the water? And I got the in the hollow of my hand. Wow! We got to the place where we think God's going to put up with us. But there's going to come a day when he's going to cut you off.
Oh God.
You need God. Yes, God created us in his image. Yes, God created us for his pleasure. But ever since the fall of man, God's dealt with men turning him away. It's not wrinkled his brow one bit. You're not doing him a favor by seeking him. He's doing you a favor by letting you. You're not doing us a favor because you decide to get right this week. You ought to be getting right, because if you don't, you're going to split hell wide open. There was a time when backsliders would leave the house of God. But the day we're living now, backsliders are the most faithless church attenders that we got. That's right, there's some of you right now. Even though God's trying to deal, you're going to open your eyes in hell right off from a holiness pew. Are you hearing me? Oh! I said the backsliders are right in the house of God. They won't worship. They won't live right. They won't pray, but they don't realize they're dead, and they still come to God's house. It's a terrible thing to be lost and done without God and be taken out in a car accident. It's a terrible thing to even die in the comfort and the sleep of your own bed without God and split hell wide open. But I believe, and I can't support this, but it's just Jerry. I can't help but think hell's going to be a little bit more real to that one that left a hole in this pew and split hell wide open. I don't believe this junk about degrees in hell, but I believe the drunkard is going to have such a saturation and a feel for alcohol. His tongue will swell for another drink. But all through eternity, it's going to torment him. All the drug addict's veins are going to cry out for the prick of another needle, for the sniff of another hit of cocaine. And it's never going to be satisfied. Oh, but the person that goes out from the church pew will be forever tormented with the fact that I was at the borders of heaven and I have lost out. I felt the chill bumps of the Holy Ghost and I'm in hell. I felt the warmth and the presence of God, but now I'm forever doomed without God, without hope, without help. Oh, great God in heaven, you better shake yourself. That won't let me go, Brother Lloyd. That won't let me go. I'm trying. It's driving me, Brother Noah. Oh, God, I determined in my heart not. Hear me right here. For some of you, you've come to this camp from its conception. And every year, find you on the altar getting a hold of God. And every year, me and Brother Noah finds ourselves praying and seeking God and preaching the same remedy that we have to always preach. Don't get me wrong. I'll pray with you as long as you bump the altar. But you need to realize something. You don't have a mistake. You don't have an error. You've got a problem. You can call it a mistake. You can call it a slip. You can call it a trip. You can call it whatever you want. But God said it's a problem. You have an inherent problem. Long as you're in the Spirit of God, you can go with the move of God. But the first time the Spirit of God has to step away from you to try your faith, you go right back to the rut you was in. You know what the Lord told the children of Israel when He inherited the land? You go to every high place and you tear down them altars. You burn up all their idols. Burn up everything. I preached a message one time on burning the bridges. There's some of you who don't have a problem crossing. But you always make sure you got a route back. You need to get rid of that thing today. You need to cut it off today. Like I said, it's our third year preaching this together. And there's some of you still struggling with the same old issues that you come bellyaching and crying about every year. You used to have 10. But now you're selling for 9. One more point. I'm going to get ready to make an altar. The 25th chapter of Matthew also deals with 5 foolish virgins. There was five that was wise. There was five that was foolish. They all had lamps. Come on, this is nothing. They all were virgins. They all had lamps. And they all had oil. But, that's such a big word for a little word, but tells the rest of the story. Those five wise had oil and oil to spare. But the five foolish said, I've got just enough. Now, physics tells us at one point their lamp was full. It don't say it, but no, I mean, common sense will tell us they filled their lamp with oil. But I always wondered what caused them to have a sense of security. And it was there all the time, and I never really realized it until I finally stumbled upon it. But while the bridegroom tarried, the five was wise because they knew that he may not come 3 hours from now. They knew he may not be here tomorrow. He may not even come next week. Just in case it's next year, I want to have plenty of oil. But the foolish just started building a house without counting the cost of it. And they finally ran out of 2x4s and ran out of nails. Phew! Ran out of drywall. Well, I still got oil. But while the bridegroom tarried, little by little, they began to exhaust their portion of oil. And in the time and in the moment when they least expected it and they was least prepared, the call was made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Those five that was wise picked up their lamps, picked up their supply. They was ready and trimmed to go. But those that were foolish had settled for less for so long because they wanted to try to calculate. There's some of you, and I felt the Holy Ghost just tell me, there's some of you, you've got this down to a science, that you're going to ride that rail just long enough before the crack of the door of mercy closes, and you're going to make your dart to the altar like you've done every other time, and God's going to gloriously receive you back to His fold. And everything's going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to be a high time. Then you'll shout. Then you'll worship God. Then you'll take off the world. But there came a time when the door was shut and they could not get in. Hey, let me in. He said, I never knew you. Oh, great God in heaven, there's some of you, you're gambling on your very soul this day. You're going to... That's enough. You think you've got it planned out. I know I need 10, but I'll take 9. Hey, Brother Lloyd sings the song. I'm trying to make 199.5. Ain't gonna do. You know you need to be better. You know you need to live right. But you're playing the game. You're trying to wait out God. You're trying to ride the grace. But what you're gonna do, you're gonna lose out. That in the last days, there'd be a great falling away. And today, we are seeing that being fulfilled right here in the house of God. We have settled for so less, for so long. We're finding ourselves in a place right now where we're coming up short. And that conviction and that desire that once propelled us and drove us forward is backing off from our soul. And like the old song said, we're just getting used to the dark. There was a time when our light would come into a place of darkness, and the darkness would recede and flee. But now it is the reverse. The darkness is surrounding our light. And it's getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And you don't even feel like changing the situation. I used to think, Brother Lloyd, people that know God and His mind can see the day in the world we're living in. You would think that common sense alone would tell them we're in trouble. But it's like the devil has swung a pendulum in front of them. And they're in a trance. The piper's playing to their soul. It's like the flame. You ever lit a candle? Played with the flame. It used to be up here. But now, getting closer, closer. The flame has made you numb, and you no longer see the precariousness of your situation. For the God of this world has blinded their eyes that they would not see the truth. Oh God, I've ever felt the Holy Ghost. I want someone to come and quickly get us home. Quickly. Have I ever felt the Holy Ghost? I feel Him this morning. God is trying to shake some of you back awake. You have allowed the enemy of your soul to rob you of the fullness of God, and you're just idly sitting there. The Scripture said a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands. Some of you are so numb right now that the Holy Ghost is having to make a double effort to try and penetrate your heart this morning. That's right. You can get to the place where you turn off God so much that even His Holy Ghost cannot touch your heart. You've allowed the devil to build up such a wall that even God's grace can't even hardly climb it. Oh God. You need to be concerned. Because after a while, coming to this place is not going to satisfy you. You will make your exit and never return. I just felt the Holy Ghost. You have been struggling with this and battling this for so long that when you make your exit, you're never going to return.
Placed upon my scales, thou hast been found wanting. I have called, I have dealt, I have stirred, and I have moved. But thou hast pushed my demons aside. Thou hast warned off my convictions. Thou hast played the fool, and thou hast rejected my call. And I say unto thy soul this day, it is I, the Lord's great desire and pleasure, to have thee in my fold. But if you will refuse my counsel and turn away my love and my mercy, I, the Lord, shall cut thee off, and thou shalt forever wander in the darkness that is clothing thy life, saith the Lord.
I want my preacher brethren to stand with me right now and bind together with me right now. Oh God. I know some's praying and that's fine. I want every saint of God that can get a hold of God. Seek Him right now. I want everybody in this building to sit and I want you to stand. I want them to play softly. Oh God. Somebody's in jeopardy. Somebody's playing a losing game that they can't win. The devil's making you out to be a fool today. You need to see God. You need to see God this morning. You can say this is Brother Jerry. You can say this is just people. You can say what you want. But if I ever felt the Holy Ghost of heaven, I'll feel Him right now, Brother Lloyd. He's doing battle for your soul right now. Won't you come? You have already been to the altar and you have already prayed about this matter. But not so soon have you went back to your seat in your respective place. The devil has climbed into your passenger seat. And you are lending your ear to his words once again. But as the Spirit of God has said, this time is going to be for keeps. You go out this time You're not coming back. I don't know about you, but I feel a scaredness in this building. I feel a move of God in this building that's indescribable. Somebody is fixing to lose out for real. I said, for real this time. You're fixing to lose out with God. I want you to come right now. I don't want you to tarry any longer. If you're here this morning and you have felt yourself being wrapped in the clutches of the devil, I want you to break free from the pew you're in right now. And I want you to come to this altar right now. Come on. God's not going to deal long. He has put it in your heart. He is not going to be lengthy in this. He has already shown grace. He's already shown mercy. He's not going to tarry long right here. You need to come. He's tired of playing with you. You need to come. It's been all about you. It's been everything you've wanted. And you've pushed God aside long enough. God's calling you on the carpet and God wants a decision today. Break from that pew right now. Break from that pew right now and choose life. Come on, brothers, gather around this man right here. Tell him I want to live. I want to live. Oh God. Would there be someone else that would make that choice? I want to live. I want to live. Oh God. I want to live. I want all of us children of God to gather around this altar. Find us a place to pray. Find you a place to call out on God. Oh God. I know that He can.
believe.